Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We'd like to welcome you and thank you for joining us. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and we are in the book of Matthew. We are looking at how the Gospels are a stair step to lead us closer to the Lord, to grow up into Him in all things. It says that in the Scriptures. How do you like that? We're to grow up into Him, into all things, not to a man, but into the Lord. Never says that about a man. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul beckoned to people. He didn't say to follow him alone, but as he's following Christ, if he doesn't follow Christ, don't follow him. There is a qualifier in there, isn't it? There's a caveat. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, and if I fall out of the way, how am I going to get back on the way unless my friends help me back on the way? How am I going to do that? So interesting thoughts about that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we are to grow up into Jesus, into all things. We are to mature and become more and more like him all the time. And why do we want to do that? Is there a song that tells us why we want to do that?
Well,
the Lord is good, tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good, tell it that others may know. Tell of his mercy and tell of his love. Tell of his wonderful riches above. The Lord is good, tell it wherever you go.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in his word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it forever. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. We are in Matthew 24. This is actually the third radio show regarding this chapter in the book of Matthew. It is about Jesus and his disciples, a personal conversation between them. They are at the Temple Mount site. They were out of the temple, and the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. All the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, not one stone is going to be left upon another until they are all thrown, they shall be thrown down. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things, so now they're on the Mount of Olives and now they're in a private conversation and asking him when these things were going to be and to what's. What will be the sign of your presence and the sign of the consummation of the age? In other words, when is the New Testament going to be brought into fullness? And that'll happen at the end of Matthew. We'll get into that in a few chapters here. And it happens in I don't know if I have it marked in this Bible, the New Testament, where he dies on the cross, where he gives up the spirit. Ooh, I don't have it marked readily on this one. It's when he breathes his last. He gives up the spirit. Did you guys find it?
I will.
Oh, the ninth hour. Here's the ninth hour in 46, 47. And the...
You mean 26?
We're close. Right here in verse 50. This is the dividing line in 27, 50 between Jesus' life as a man and his death on the cross. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. That is Matthew 27, 50. The Old Testament is before that. The New Testament begins. And look at how much percentage of the book of Matthew is in the Old Testament still. And people title this the New Testament at the beginning. But Ivan Panins doesn't do that. You know what his title is? The Gospels. Isn't that interesting? He's not wrong in this at all. He's the only one that's right that I know of. So here we found some New Testament things going on in the old, what men call the Old Testament. And now we know that there are some Old Testament times because it was all Old Testament from the time of Moses, 1,500 years prior to this, 1,500 years. And it ends in Matthew, the Old Testament ends in Matthew 27, 50, when he gives up the Spirit.
I love how Ivan Panin does it. He says Gospels, G-O-S-P-E-L-S, and then he says according to Matthew, or kata Matthew, what Matthew put down. He didn't even get into that other thing, did he?
According to, it's the Gospels according to Matthew. Nope, he did. He did
because it,
there is some Old Testament in here. All this time that we are and his disciples, they're still under the old Mosaic law. They have to be. Remember when Jesus is? Oh, in Matthew chapter 8. Oh, look at this. I didn't bring this up. I need to bring this up. Matthew chapter 8. This proves it.
He did. Yeah.
This is one of the proofs, and it's in there about Jesus tells him to do something with the priest. After he is healed, where is that? Go show yourself to the priest, I think it says.
Verse 3. See to it, or that's verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 4. See to it that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.
Read the whole context. Read 1 through
4.
It's very interesting when you look at the Bible compared to the times that they were in. So Jesus still told this leper that was cleansed
to go by the Mosaic law.
I
sure do.
Isn't that interesting? There's several proofs that are just right on. It's not just one or two. So it's 1 through 4 is the context, Brett.
And when he was come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And lo, a leper came to him and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst cleanse me. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be cleansed. And straightway his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no one, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them.
Is that any more plain? You can't be any more plain than that, can you?
Right. He was saying, hey, this is what you still have to do, because they were still in the
Mosaic law.
And
he mentions that here. It's so plain. Go do according to the Mosaic law, what Moses commanded for a witness. And then there's only from, let's see, Matthew chapter 28 and 27. So all of chapter 28 and 16 or so verses of Matthew 27,
that's it.
Are New Testament. That's all the New Testament. 27 all the way to 27 chapters, 50 verses in the last chapter, all Old Testament, just one chapter, 28, and 16 verses of 27 are New Testament. Okay, I don't need to belabor that anymore. I think I belabored that enough, didn't I? But it's just interesting that if people need to not only put themselves, you know, it's where Jesus went to different, he was in different places. He went to the edge, he went to the border of Israel to get baptized, to the Jordan. They had to cross over the Jordan to come in and start taking over the land. There were 2.5 tribes that still lived on the other side of the Jordan, but the rest of the tribes all lived, 10 and a half tribes lived on the other side, on the Israeli, on the Israel side, yeah, the west of the Jordan. And Jesus went to the Jordan to John to be baptized of him. And then he starts his journey, and now we are, and you can see the progression, and this is the way Matthew has done, and now we are in the heart of the religion. We are in Jerusalem. We're not only in Jerusalem, we're right in the temple. We've followed him into the temple in the book of Matthew. Isn't that interesting? And how he wants to cleanse the temple, so he cleanses it to make it not an issue about money. I think people have gone back to that too much. So he cleansed the temple, and the leaders confronted him. They wanted to grab him there, but they feared the crowds. They wanted to get rid of him right there, but it wasn't his time. They couldn't. They didn't have authority to because they couldn't do it as much as they would have tried. They couldn't because it wasn't God's time. He had to die on the very day and the very hour, the exact hour that was foretold
in the law.
For over 1,500 years.
The Passover.
It was foretold when God brought his kids out of Egypt. That was all foretold how God was going to bring us out of this old kingdom of the world, this fallen kingdom, and going to bring us into the kingdom of the heavens. And so you find Jesus now at the temple site, and then he comes out and explains what's going to happen in the last days to this temple site. Isn't the layout of this is quite extraordinary, isn't it, when you think about it? What is focused in the book of Matthew, and this seems to be the first thing as we go through that we need to understand, then we'll understand the book of Mark later, and it'll have different focuses. So I've just thought it's been fun to take Pannon's view and look at what we've learned so far over 50-some years, some 40. Some people learned this for 40 years, some 30, some 20. But for as far as my involvement in this 52 years, 53 actually 53 now. I was baptized 53 years ago. And it's fun to go back and look at it his way, and I think the guy's right. I'm going to prove him right. And so far, I haven't found a flaw in his thought pattern. Have you, Andy?
No, it's right. It's made me consider teaching some things that are in all four books and accumulating them together to make a teaching, and rather than giving the aspects of each teaching and then let that gather them together. That would be a more accurate way to do it at a different time. Just teach that particular teaching based on that particular book and not start rumbling too far forward, which we are being quite good at not doing.
We're trying to do that.
We're trying to do that as best
we can. We're trying to
our habits sort of run
control
ahead,
ourselves.
So we have to get control ourselves.
And sometimes we even have to listen to the person that edits these tapes to control ourselves and to make sure we talk into the mic.
Exactly.
And it's all been a lot of fun. So we got the. They said that not one stone's going to be left on another. And it says what's going to be happening is many will stumble, deliver up one another. There's going to be chaos, and people are going to be killing each other, delivering each other because of the name of Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a witness unto all the nations. And you know what? There are more Christians in China. This should be embarrassing to America. There are 100 million Christians, and they're more serious than American Christians are because they're under threat of death. And so those are the serious folks. We are a bit too leisurely in America. So my hat's off to our Chinese Christian friends, at least in God's first rest. And there's three rests in God, just like the three temple rooms, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. There's a lot of people in that outer court that need to keep coming. They need to keep coming and enter into your closet where you pray. And it doesn't say closet. The word closet's not even in the Bible. It's just two words, into, ice, into. Come into. He's talking to people in the outer court. Come into the holy place. And those in the holy place, come into the holy of holies where God the Father is through the Son. And so the pattern is shown on the Temple Mount. Make sure you do all things according to the pattern. Our salvation is actually according to the pattern shown on the Mount of how to build the temple. And it says, when you see this abomination of desolation, and abomination is like when a person passes gas, and it's a yucky smell, or it's an abomination. It's something that stinks really bad. It's a bad odor, really, is what that word is. And that makes desolate. Everybody wants to run out of the room, you know, when somebody lets a big stinky. And the abomination, the Antichrist, is going to be a big, I call him the big stinker. Oh, Brett thinks this is funny. Brett, I'm very serious about this.
I know.
Sorry, Brett. I didn't mean to. So what are you thinking right now? Are you thinking you wish you hadn't joined this?
Nope, definitely not. I'm happy.
Okay. You shall see the big stinker that God wants everybody to run out of the room. But not some people have their senses dulled. They don't smell anymore. You know, we're to use all of our five senses regarding evil. And one is smell. You know, some things just don't smell right that people say and do. Some definitely don't look right, don't hear right, don't taste right. And we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. We're to use that sense, right? All those five senses God gave us for a reason. And they're to sense good and evil. If you ever put something in your mouth and you're told to spit it out again, and you find out it's got botulism in it or you got something else, and you just, it goes out as fast as that baby went in, and you want to go clean and maybe drink, rinse with salt water and so on. You want to do that way with people, what people say and teach. You want to use your senses. And then later on, a person lets this person in the house and the dog doesn't like that person and they're all perked up and something is saying that is wrong and they let him in anyway and they end up dying or getting raped because they didn't use their senses. And the big stinker, if you know the Bible, you'll know the big stinker, what he's all about. He's gonna draw people to him. He's going to be a big draw. Probably be big in the church world. He'll be handsome, likely. He'll be what people desire. But he'd be a big stinker to people that know the truth and know the word. How many of these movie stars that have been really good looking have turned out to be really weird? You know, that people are all drawn to them and so on, and they never treat their wives right or whatever.
But they don't really know them.
Yeah. They don't know them yet until
they're
married.
They don't really know them. They just look at them and, oh, that looks good. They don't really know what's in their heart.
Do you think the big stinker is going to put on a big good show?
Oh, yeah. great signs and wonders. It says, if possible, even to lead astray the elect.
Yeah.
So there are going to be things that could, if somebody's not watching, they could get led astray.
That's why you want to be on that three-legged stool, be reading the Bible, be praying, and fellowshipping with people that fear God. And it's spoken, when therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Let's go look at that really quickly. What do you think? That's in Daniel chapter 12, the last few verses. It's after Ezekiel. It's on page 1266.
871.
871. It's somewhere between 871 and 1266. It says, talking about the last days. Do we have time to read that? We do have time to read that. 1 through 13. You want to read that one, Brett?
Yeah. What chapter was that?
Chapter 12, last chapter. This is the last thought that Daniel leaves us with. Daniel's a great book.
Okay. Daniel chapter 12.
Yep, 1 through 13, just like the love chapter.
Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will stand. And there will be a time of distress such as never happened since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued.
Oh, look now. Tarry on that just a little bit. Even if we have to go do this, a part of it on another show, think about that statement. What do you think about that, Brett? What do you like about that verse?
Well, it shows that, let me see here, and there will be a time of distress such as never happened since there was a nation until that time. It says, and at that time, your people, which is talking about God's people, everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. So God's people, if your name is in the book, well, if your name is written in the book, then you are one of God's people and you will be rescued in these perilous times.
Will one be lacking?
Not one.
Not one. Not, how about a half of one?
Not one.
How about a quarter of a one?
Not one.
How about his little pinky finger? Is that going to come along too? Everything. Everything. Everyone.
Every person whose name is written in that book.
The Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, that's the one that's talked about in Revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like that verse one?
Oh, the very first part?
No, there? Just all of it. How do you just like that verse one? Even though there's going to be a time of stress like never before, everyone, and remember we just read, it was the tape before we read Psalms 37. Look at that one.
Oh, yeah.
The righteous stay on the land.
Right.
But the wicked are going to all of a sudden disappear or cut off. Why are they teaching a doctrine like that? That sounds rather strange that the Bible never says the righteous all of a sudden are going to disappear.
Right.
But it says the wicked will disappear or they'll be gone. Read Psalm 37. It's like seven places. But the last part of that, isn't that interesting? Everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued.
And there's a lot of protection. It says Michael will stand up, the great prince who stands over the sons of your people.
Yeah, isn't that? And so now Michael is involved in this. Gabriel is an angel that brought about the knowledge of Jesus being born, but Michael is the archangel. And then the churches teach that there are three archangels. Impossible in mathematics, zero impossibility.
There is an arc. Right there.
An arc has only one high point. If you ever do the math on it, you will not find two or three. There is only one point that is the highest. Because there's a radius down here. As soon as you move off that center, you'll find it lower. only one place for one archangel. That's what that word means, the highest. There's only one. And besides, Lucifer's not even an angel. But keep reading, would you?
Verse 2.
Yep.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to reproach and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the time of the end. Many will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on the bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time. And as soon as they complete shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" Then he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the time of the end. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. But from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and reaches the 1,335th days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and stand again for your allotted portion at the end of the days."
So Daniel's saved. Whoa. Every time I read that, I go,
he made it.
Daniel was just told something there. And I'm like, every time I read that, you, Daniel, go your way, and you will arise at the end of the days. What a message that is.
Yeah.
And it even tells you the days from the day, the time the daily sacrifice is taken away, so that agrees that the temple will be built. They'll be offering the daily sacrifice, and it will be taken away, and there will be a period of time of 1,290 days. But he says, blessed or happy beyond measure is he who keeps waiting and attains till 45 days later, 1,335 days.
So there's a time frame.
There's a time frame.
Wow.
So you'll be happy if you come to the end of that time. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."